بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فقال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد الفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. We're discussing the ayat al-karima when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that indeed those believers have attained success who have concentration and devotion in salah. And we were explaining khashi'un, what the different ulama-i kiram have mentioned regarding khashi'un. In Tafsir al-Kashaf, the Musannif, the author of this tafsir, has written certain adab and etiquettes for khushu, for khashi'in. So he has written that first and foremost, that tawakki kaffut thawb, that you should save yourself from gathering your clothes while performing salah. So, and the reason is that when a person's heart is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he would not engage in activities that are outside salah. So one is that a person is so concerned about his clothing that he gathers his clothing, it mustn't get soiled. If for the reason that it mustn't cause somebody else inconvenience as he's standing next to you, there's a different question. But in order not to get soiled, etc., to gather one's clothing, at-tamatti, a person to stretch out in salah because of tiredness, etc., this is also against the adab, the etiquettes of khushu. At-tatha'ub, to yawn, where a person can suppress his yawn as far as possible to suppress it and to keep it within. And it was from the khususiyat, the speciality of the Anbiya alayhi salatu salam, that they shouldn't yawn. But because we insan, an ordinary insan, so we are going to yawn. So in the case where as far as possible to suppress it to whatever extent. Then the other is taghtiyatul fam, to close the mouth with the hands. That also should be avoided. So ulama have written that in the case where you can press your lips together in order to avoid the yawn, that is best. That means don't utilize your hands to cover your mouth. That is what you should try to do. But if it is so overwhelming that you can't, then in that case permission has been given to utilize the hand. Then in the qiyam position also normally we should use the left hand. But in the qiyam position, because in order to minimize extra movement, to utilize the right hand. But if we can, first and foremost, try to close it. In amkanahu in the tatahub ayyakhudha shafatahu bi sinnihi balam yaf'al wa ghattafahu bi yadihi aw bi thawbi yakrahu. Kada ruwiya an Abi Hanifata rahmatullah alayh. And this is mentioned in Shami in the first volume, that if it is possible at the time of yawning to suppress and to close your lips, then a person should do so. And if he doesn't try and he just utilizes his hands to close his mouth, that will be makruh and it will be against khushu of salat. That was number four. Number five was sadal, to leave your clothes loose, hanging loose. Thus also we'll see many times people got a habit that they will wear the scarf around their shoulders and leave the two ends hanging. It should be tight. Or even if you have a scarf on the head and to leave the edges hanging without any purpose. If you got a scarf, then you should tie it up so it doesn't preoccupy your mind when it is dangling in ruku, etc., when going into sajda. And this we find very, very often, that especially when we're wearing the Arab scarves, etc., we allow them to hang unnecessarily. Even if your person is wearing a blanket, for instance, or something to keep him warm, and a throw over, whatever he requires, but he should not leave the edges hanging loose. Well, furqa'atu, with a person to crack his fingers in salah, and also this in the masjid also. A person should avoid after cracking one finger, fingers at tashbik, to interlace one's fingers, one hand's fingers into the other. All this is against the adab and the etiquettes of khushu and khudu, concentration and devotion in salah. Just one point again, that yesterday we made mention, just to clarify, that Mujaddid Millat Maulana Ashraf Thani Rahmatullah Ali has mentioned one very, very important point regarding khushu and salat. And he mentions ke khushu ki haqeeqat ye hai ke sukoon yani kalb ka bhi khayalat ghair ko kalb mein bilkas hazir na kare. The reality of khushu is that purposefully, intentionally, to not bring outside thoughts in salah. Inshallah, we'll go into detailed discussion as those involuntary thoughts that come in a person. That is one thing. Here is bilqasd, intentionally not to invite any thoughts. And then that is far as the heart is concerned. As far as the jawari is concerned, the lumps of the body is concerned, or jawari ka bhi, ke ab harkate na kare, that to engage in futile activities over the lumps of the body. As far as khushu being farz in salat is concerned, Mujaddid Millat Maulana Ashraf Thani Rahmatullah Ali says, ke us ki farliyat mein kalam hai. Whether it is farz or not, there is a discourse and a discussion regarding it. Magar haq ye hai, ke sihat salat ka to mokuf alayhi nahi. For the validity of salat, it is not pending upon khushu and khudu. That means we will say that you are absolved from your responsibility, you have fulfilled the farz. But at the same time he goes on saying, or is martaba mein farz nahi, in that sense it is not farz. Or kabool salat ka mawkuf alayhi hai. But for the acceptance of salat is pending upon it. That means in order to get reward for your salat, it is imperative that you have khushu and khudu in salat. And we mentioned that nobody does business just in order to get the obligation off his head. So that is far as khushu is concerned. Hazrat Abu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala farmati hai, ke ek martaba Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ne aasman ki taraf nigaah utahi. Hazrat Abu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala says, on one occasion Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lifted his gaze towards the sky. Aur ye ishaar farmaya, and he also mentioned at the same time, ke is waqt ilm ke dunya se ut jane ka waqt munkashif hua hai. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, he looked at the skies and said, that time has dawned upon me, that means it has been shown to me, and I'm prophesizing to you that a time will come when knowledge will be lifted from the surface of the earth. Hazrat Ziyad sahabi ne arz kiya, Ya Rasulullah, ilm humse kis tarah ho jayega? How will knowledge be lifted from us? Because it's amazing. Sahaba found it very, very strange. Today, jahalat is so common that this is not a question for us. But in their environment, when ilm was so vibrant, that how can ever knowledge be lifted? And then he further elucidated his reasoning and his thinking. Hum log Quran Sharif padhte hain. We read Quran Sharif, aur apni aulad ko padhate hain. And we teach it to our children also. Aur wo isi tarah apni aulad ko padhayenge. In that way, they will also teach their children. Aur silsila chalta rahega. And this norm will continue. Because they thought that important knowledge, whatever they learned from Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, immediately at their home, they went and they conveyed it to their wife and the children. So this will continue. Our children will in turn teach their children. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam farmaya, Main tujhe bara samajhdar khayal karta tha. Oh Ziyad, I thought you to be very intelligent. Ye Yahud Nasara bhi to Torah Injil parthe parati hai. The Yahud and the Nasara teach their children the Torah and the Injil also. Fir kya kar aamad hua? Then what happened by the end? They also have, till now they have Sunday classes, Bible classes, etc. And they attend that. But their religion is completely different from the text. There is no compatibility between their practices and what they propagate and the texts and the text completely. If you look at all their teachings now, that homosexuality is also, they are even ordained priests that are homosexuals, and they have gay marriages in their churches, etc. Totally contrary to the teachings of their own testament and the scriptures. So one is just the outward teaching of deen, and one is the reality of deen. Hazrat gives us an example. He says one is ilm, and one is the nur of ilm, and these are two different things. The nur of ilm comes when a person makes amal upon his ilm, then Allah Ta'ala gives nur. As I mentioned, one is the leg of the table and one is the table. The table, the leg is part of the table, but it's not the table. If you just got the leg, you can't say I've got the table. You can't eat on it. You just got the leg. In the same way, the ilm is something, and amal upon ilm and the nur of ilm is something else. And we'll see that many things will stay in his outward form, but there will be no reality in it. And few examples Hazrat gave to elucidate this point. Hazrat mentioned, for example, if you look at our Qurbani today, one was to commemorate the sacrifice of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, and to get the jazbat that was within him, that desire and that concern of fulfilling the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all circumstances. That the order of Allah can't break, no matter even if I have to sacrifice my children in that regard. So that was the purpose of Qurbani, the jazbat to become fida and become diehards on the hukam of Allah. That was the purpose of Qurbani. And look at how we have transformed it. So the Qurbani is still in our lives, but the essence is lost. Now, mashallah, a person will ask Mufti Sahib that Qurbani is wajib, I've got this amount of money, can I send it to some neighboring country? So outwardly your Qurbani is completed. So that means the compulsion you have become absorbed of. But the essence of Qurbani, of that sacrifice, and to understand the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to commemorate this great sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, that will be lost. We want to keep our, as it mentions, that we have to keep our melamine kitchens in pristine condition. So no meat must come inside the house. And even the lady will tell, what you take the meat, you take it to the garage. There is a deep freezer there. Don't bring it to my kitchen. One is the sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And what have we made of the sacrifice? Can you imagine the thought and the process that must be going through his mind when taking his son and understanding the awe of the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then we will bring a lot of arguments to substantiate our point. We'll say that in Malawi they don't see, in certain areas in Malawi they don't see the meat even once a year. So mashallah, now we become very sentimental and conscious about the feelings of mankind. If you are so conscious, then the whole year they need meat. They don't need meat only at the time of Qurbani. Then mashallah, in other months also send. Why only Zilhijjah? Then we have to send Qurbani there. Then in Muharram also send because they are hungry. In Safar also send, they are hungry. But in order to spend the least amount of money, because we know there it will cost 300 rand a share, in South Africa it will cost different. So then all our humanitarian feelings come to the fore. So the spirituality is gone. It's a matter of obligation, fulfilling the obligation. And as I said, this is just one. If you look at all our aspects, our dini institutions, etc., the ilm is been transferred. But the reality of that ilm, where a time in Darul Uloom Deoband, that even the doorkeeper and had nisbat to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Forget the students and the asatida and the Shaykhul Hadith, etc., and those involved in administration. That was a definite given. So nisbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was there. So because the reality of that activity was in their lives. So in the same way we can understand even our salat. We are going through the rituals and fulfilling the rituals in order to get out of the obligation, but the reality of salat is lost. And then as I also mentioned, he says, see, even in our makatib, etc., and those that are teaching in the makatib will understand this, when the time of salat is in madrasa hours, then the student will remind you, what's up, there's 10 minutes left, 5 minutes left for jamaat. He's so conscious about his watch. And he will remind you that, mashallah, and you will also feel guilty that the student is asking you that it's salat time. How can we get on with lessons? But let the salat, for example, in summer come outside madrasa time. For example, madrasa time at 10 past 5, adhan is at 5:15, and see which student is there in jamaat now for at 5:30 for namaz. Nobody. Because now the ritual of teaching deen, the practical aspect is gone. Even from the asatida, etc., is gone. And this also we should learn from those that are teaching deen. That don't only concentrate on the zahir. Check. Mufti Ahmad Khan Puri, Damal Barakatuh, mentioned, it is amazing that in the Darul Uloom, an ustad that is teaching higher kitabs will walk past students whose trousers are below the ankles and not say a word. This will be an argument against you on the day of Qiyamah. That these are people that have come to you for the tarbiyat and for the reformation and for the increase in ilm. But for some reason, because of your position, either because you think you're teaching final year kitabs, or you feel that you just want to keep your position in your students' eyes, not to say a word. There is weakness in an ustad that does not speak in order to keep his maqam. Truly, it is weakness in an ustad that he remains silent because he wants to keep his maqam in front of his students. Such a relationship should be developed with the students that they understand that what you want and what you stand for, and they become diehards for every word that you speak. Then you'll orientate them towards sunnahs. Then you'll take Kal Guzari every few days in your class also. That mashallah, it is a sunnah of Miswak alive. Mashallah, we give time for Chaat Salat. Are we reading Chaat Salat? Or it's just a name, it's a break, but you call it Chaat Salat. Ustad doesn't worry, students don't worry, nobody worries. So in a nice, comfortable, loving way, in order to keep the reality and amal of deen, to check if your students are coming out to sunnah, to check what is their taluk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what time they spend in du'as, etc., then the reality of deen will remain. Otherwise, it will be just transferring of knowledge and information from one to the other, and there'll be no reality. So this, pay attention specifically to. And many times, as asatida, etc., we complain from time to time regarding unruly behavior and penal ways to improve their behavior, and we're thinking of ways that we can discipline them. And generally our thought is always in the negative, that we need to keep them after madrasa, we need to basically have this punitive measure in order to get on them to amal, etc. There's no need for that. Our amal, our deen is full of amal. Get them onto the positive, the negative will come out immediately. Get them onto reading durood, for example. Bring durood alive in the students. And give them a gift for this, and see what jazbah they will read durood also. And many times you will see the behavior patterns will change with the barakat of durood. So in the positive light, to bring amal into our students, so then the reality of deen will remain. Otherwise it will become like the Christian and Jews, it will be a scripture, and our lives and our thinking will be completely different. Now if you look presently, over 18 countries in the world, which were previously, who boasted themselves to be Christian countries, have allowed gay marriages. South Africa is one of the first few in the list of 18. And every week there's one more country. And what has remained from this? Italy recently, even the Prime Minister of Italy mentioned that how can we ban the headgear when we see that Miriam and the statue of Miriam, she's always covered. She has a headgear on her head. But unfortunately, despite that, that is a lip service. Just 2 days ago, the European Union passed a regulation that was against the French government and the Belgium government of it's against religious rights to ban the wearing of the face. Unfortunately, this is the highest court in Europe. There's above any country court. They have gave the regulation, no, it will stand. This ruling will stand. So their deen has just become lip service, complete. Whatever what the heart desires is God. And then they have a scripture just by the way. So we should fear from that even our Quran al-Kareem just remains a kitab. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam prophesies, يُوشِكُ أَيَّاتِيَا لَلنَّاسِ زَمَانِ لَا يَبْقَى مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ إِلَّا إِسْمُ وَلَا مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ إِلَّا رَسْمُ مَسَاجِدُهُمْ عَامِرَ وَيَا خَرَابٌ مِنَ الْهُدَى أو كما قال الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Fear that time and be aware of that time. That will come. Sayyati, that Islam will remain in name. We will have names, beautiful names, Muhammad, Ibrahim, etc. But you don't even know where to make salam to the person because there's no sign of Islam. So Islam will remain in the outward form. And then the Quran al-Kareem, which is words, will be there. There will be no reality. We will make our khatams also. But we haven't even got the thought of making amal. To bring the aqaid of the Quran al-Kareem in our hearts. To bring the sifat imaniyah that the Quran al-Kareem talks about. Tawakkul, yaqeen on Allah, zat, sabr, shukr. And all these beautiful sifat the Quran al-Majeed has made mention of. And the rewards that Allah Ta'ala has given. Our attention will not even go towards the direction that I have to bring this in my life. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the masajiduhum amira, the masjids will be full. وَيَا خَرَابٌ مِّنَ الْهُدَىٰ, but it will be totally devoid of hidayat. So musallis will increase. And we've seen that today, mashallah. Musallis are increasing. From what you ask all the people in the 60s, what was the Musallis? In the 70s, what is the Musallis? 80s, what is the Musallis? And every, mashallah, we see that with the barakah of the work of Dawat and Tabligh, that the Musallis are increasing. But it shows there's another effort that is required. And that, mashallah, the brothers in the work of Dawat and Tabligh are doing a tremendous job in bringing an increase in the Musallis. Therefore, even Mawlana Ilyas, rahmatullah alayh, he said, if I had to keep this, give a name, if I had to give a name to this activity that I'm engaged in, I would have called it the activity of Iman and Salat. But that was the fundamental. Hazrat understood that if Salat comes with its proper requisites in this Ummat, the Ummat's problems will be solved. If I had to give a name, I would have given it the harkat and the movement of Iman and Salat. So the Jamaat brothers are making their effort in that regard of trying to increase. And this is also the cry from the Markaz, that check on all the time whether our Musallis are increasing or not. But unfortunately, if the reality of Amal does not come, we can fast for an entire month of Ramadan Mubarak. Now see this we have to check every year. 30 years, maybe we're living in our locality, 40 years we are living in our localities, to check what effect Ramadan has got on the people, check on the last day of Sha'ban, 30th of Sha'ban, what the amount of Musallis in our Fajr Masjid. And those that are making imamat in their areas, check on this. Then on the 30th of Sha'ban, whether it was a weekday or a weekend, how many Musallis were in the Masjid? Then on the first of Ramadan, how does it increase to triple the amount of Musallis? Then on the first of Shawwal, on Eid day, mashallah, also the crowd even increases. On the second of Shawwal, amazing, the amount of Musallis are the same amount it does on the 30th of Shaban. That means an ummah that has kept fast for an entire month. And the purpose of fasting was la'allakum tattaqoon, to get the quality of taqwa. And so that a person becomes aware of the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the grandeur of the order of Allah, the might of the order of Allah, the power of the order of Allah. That's awareness supposed to come. And he's supposed to have within him the steam to stay away from sin. All his fasting in the month of Ramadan, he's still out of Quran al-Kareem. He's still out of Quran al-Kareem. He's khairat. He even keeps his, where this is not the masla, but it's a common masla amongst the people, that you must pay your zakat in Ramadan. Where zakat must be paid when it becomes compulsory, obligatory. We have to count a year from then when it becomes obligatory. But generally the ummah pays their zakat in Ramadan. And they give the extra nawafil, khairat, etc. because it will be multiplied many more folds. The nafal act will come to the level of a farz act in Ramadan Mubarak. But how is it with so much mujahada? And then to some extent people have got that haya, even the TV, they put a parda on for at least that month. And now the ladies that weren't wearing scarf, they wear a scarf and they come to the bazaars, etc. And even the clothing becomes a bit more decent compared to the normal. But how come all that cannot take the ummah to one more salat or jamaat? Let's reflect on ourselves also. That the last year Ramadan, inshallah, hopefully this Ramadan with Allah's karam and fazal will be a total change in our lives. But our last Ramadan, that we attended congregational prayer, and all that steam could not take us. Why? Because the outward action has remained, and the reality of amal has gone. The ummah is fasting, but the reality of fasting has gone. Ummah is making tilawat, but the reality of tilawat has gone. If there was reality of tilawat, if there was reality of sawm in the ummah, then it would have that amount of steam within them and create within them that amount of steam that at least one more salat they could read with congregation. But the ummah is not doing so. For example, I see year after year in the Jamia Masjid, for instance, we got different numbers of Musallis for summer, different number of Musallis for winter, different number of Musallis for weekdays, different number of Musallis for Friday, different weekday, I mean Monday to Thursday. Then Friday is a different number of Musallis, Saturday is a different number of Musallis, Sunday is a different number of Musallis. Check for the last 10 years and you'll find the same thing. I don't know whether this is the condition in your masajid also, but we should reflect as imams of masajids, etc., and those that are involved in the activity of deen, is this the condition? That means there's something missing. There's something drastically missing. That means this jaan of amal has gone out of the ummah. Outward amal has remained. So they, if it is winter, then mashallah, 5.5 to 6 safs from Monday to Thursday. Friday, it increases to one more saf, 7th saf. Like you get one group of the ummah that reads Fajr Salat with Jamaat on a Friday morning. So you find immediately, without fail, every Friday you'll find one extra saf. Saturday is Hifz class, so the parents still have to bring the children for Hifz class. But it does drop to a certain extent because a lot of people don't go to work on a Saturday. So then they don't come for Fajr Salat either. Then automatically it drops to 4.5 saf. And then on a Sunday, because there's no Hifz class also, and there's no obligation to bring them for Hifz for the children also, then you see the saf got to 3.5. And year after year after year. And the ummah kept fast for the entire month. And what ibadah the ummah made collectively. So we should understand how important this aspect is of bringing life in amal. That it must propel you towards further amal. So Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala mentioned, Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala ke shagird kehte hain ki maine dusre sahabi Hazrat Ubadah radiallahu ta'ala se jaakar ye kissa sunaya. Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala, the student said that I went to Hazrat Ubadah and I mentioned, so Hazrat Abu Darda student said, I went to another sahabi Hazrat Ubadah to say that Hazrat Abu Darda is mentioning this hadith that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam prophesies when knowledge will be taken away from the ummah. Unhone farmaya ki Abu Darda ne sach keh, Abu Darda sach kehte hain. That Abu Darda has spoken the truth. Yes, that knowledge will be lifted. Aur main batau ki sabse pehle kya cheez dunya se uthegi? Should I inform you what will be the first thing that will be lifted from this world? Sabse pehle namaz ka khushu uth jayega. The first thing that is going to be lifted from this ummat is concentration and devotion in salah. To dekhega ke bari masjid mein ek shakhs bhi khushu se namaz padhne wala na hoga. In a full masjid you won't find one person reading salah to concentration. Think about it. And we don't have to look very, very far. We have to look at ourselves. Last night, we Tarawih Salah, 20 rakats, where and where we went. We took a world tour. They talk of 80 days and 80 minutes. MashaAllah. Every night in 90 minutes, 60 minutes Tarawih, maybe another 10 more minutes, 70 minutes, where and where we have traveled, without visas, without passport, nothing. No embassy. We had to go for interviews. And every night our Tarawih is the same. There is no improvement in our Tarawih because our mind hasn't gone towards it. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq inshallah to concentrate on this, that our ibadat and what is the jan of ibadat, the ruh of ibadat, the soul of ibadat, that is khushu and khudu should come in our salat. Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ke razdar kehlati hai. Hazrat Huzaifa was known as a secret keeper of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even mentioned to him the hypocrites, etc. And he had the name. And so this is also we learn. The greater the ta'aluk with Allah, the greater the fear. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, from time to time, he should ask Hazrat Huzaifa, is my name on this list of munafiqeen or not? Imagine what such jazbat of deen and such ta'aluk with Allah and such connection with Allah and such sacrifice, but they had this fear whether I'm a munafiq or not. Some sahaba should check whether Hazrat Huzaifa should attend a janazah prayer or not. On this, because they know if he didn't attend a janazah prayer, most likely this person that died is a munafiq. And us, we are number one Muslims, mashallah. Like we normally go for Umrah and all that, and then we say, we South Africans, mashallah. If you look at all the people in the haram, we are number one Muslim. Mashallah, the etiquettes we got, etc. Truly, they were fearful of nifaq, and we are making claim of being number one Muslim. The sign of your ta'aluk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that you have fear of nifaq within you. Tabi'in used to say that I met so many sahaba, groups and groups of sahaba that had fear of nifaq. They were not content. So, وہ بھی فرماتے ہیں کہ سب سے پہلے نماز کا خشوع اٹھ جائے گا. حضرت حذیفہ رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ says that the first thing to be lifted will be concentration in salah. حضرت علی رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ سے کسی نے پوچھا, سمجھے آس حضرت علی کرم اللہ وجہ, کہ خشوع کیا چیز ہے؟ What is this خشوع؟ فرمایا کہ خشوع دل میں ہوتا ہے. خشوع is in the heart. We mentioned this yesterday, it's not an outward form. The truth is, what is your relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how you perceive yourself to be. And this one thing that can help a person highly in this, which Hazrat recommends, which is Hazrat Hakim Sahib's teaching, and Mawlana Ashraf Ghani Thanvi Rahmatullah is one of his wazaif, that he has mentioned that we should make muraqabah daily. Take a time out after Fajr Salat, sit a little while in the musalla, and utter these words to yourself, so that the reality can dawn upon you. That you say that filhal Hussein to tamam musalman mein sabse battar aur kamtar hai. That presently Hussein, out of all the Muslims, you are the worst. Mawlana Ashraf Ghani Thanvi rahmatullah alayh would have this as a muraqabah for the muridin. Aur ma'al ke aitibar se, in terms of the future, Hazrat Hakim sahab adds, bator imkan, as a possibility. That mein sabse, mein musalman, mein ghair musalman, kuffar, or janwaron se bhi, and he says, Hazrat used to say, take the name suwar se bhi, or khinzir se bhi, or bandar se bhi, ziyada battar aur kamtar. That I'm lower than an animal also. And then, as I said, you must say, batori imkan is a possibility in your mind, you should think it, because if you die without iman, then that even a pig is better than you. So when a person starts saying this, initially it will be lip service. Then the reality will dawn. When you walk into a masjid and you have yakin that every other musalli is better than you. Today, unfortunately, our nigah falls and the faults, because our nigah is not on our own faults. And that what salat is supposed to bring, that reality is not there. That khushu and khudu is not there. So till that thought does not come. Hazrat Qatada radiallahu ta'ala kehte hai ki dil ka khushu Allah ta'ala ka khauf hai. What is the khushu of the heart? It's the fear of Allah. Aur nigah ko neechi rakhna, and to lower the gazes. Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam ne ek martaba ek shakhs ko dekha ki namaz mein daari par haath pher raha hai. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam seen one person, ghaliban it's revived from Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam seen a person playing with his beard or putting his fingers into his beard. Irshad farmaya ki agar uske dil mein khushu hota to badan ke sare aada mein sukoon hota. Thus riwayat Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi is mentioned in Fazail Amal also, law khasha qalbu hada khasha'at jawarihuhu. That if there was concentration and devotion in the heart, then his body would be still. That shows that the heart governs the body. Because there is no concentration and devotion, we will engage in activities in salah. Khushu ke mutalliq aage is risale mein puri wadahat inshallah aa rahi hai. As far as a detailed explanation and further explanation of khushu, concentration and devotion, inshallah we'll discuss it in more detail later on. Aur ye baat bhi ke haqeeqat khushu yani dil ka khushu kuch zikr wa shagal karne ke baad hi hasil hota hai. This is a very very important point, that the reality of concentration will only be attained if a person engages in zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dhikr controls the mind. So then when a person's mind is under control, then you'll be able to concentrate. Our biggest problem is we've got no control of our mind. Think about, here we're sitting, what thoughts must have come from the starting of the program till now? Our mind has gone home, it's gone everywhere. So the advantage of dhikr is that it gives you the capacity and ability to control your mind. That will help you immediately in salah. And therefore we read the ayah yesterday, kan aflaha man tazakka wa dhakara isma rabbihi fasalla. And look at the tartib Allah Ta'ala has mentioned regarding the mind. Inna fi khalqis samawati wal ard wa ikhtilafil layl wal nahar la ayatin li ulil albab alladhina yadhkuruna Allah qiyaman wa qu'udan wa ala junubihim wa yatafakkaruna fi khalqis samawati wal ard rabbana ma khalaqta hadha batila. First and foremost, Allah Ta'ala gives a definition of who are the intelligent. Today, if somebody calls you stupid, you take offense. But now see what Allah terms as intelligent. We'll say immediately, you stupid. But what does the Quran Kareem regard? Who's intelligent? Person of mind. Alladhina yadhkuruna Allah qiyaman wa qu'udan wa ala junubihim. Those that engage in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the standing position, in the sitting position, reclining on their backs, they are called intelligent. But the next thing is, وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And then they ponder regarding the creation of the skies and the earth. Ulama Everton, Allah Ma'alusi Baghdadi rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned, from this ayat al-karima we understand that a person must first engage in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that his thinking can be correct. In fact, he has gone further to say that don't even rely on the thinking and the philosophy in the intellectual theories of any individual that does not engage in the dhikr of Allah. And this today we find people so-called enlightened people of deen, thinkers of deen and ponderers of deen, and come with amazing theories and changes, and bombastic in their speech, etc. When they do not engage in the dhikr of Allah, don't even take reliance on their thinking. Because the thinking should be governed with the nur of the dhikr of Allah. And then Allah Ma'arusi Baghdadi also mentions, he says, if a person has jumud, he has stagnation in his thinking. Say for example, at times you just can't find solution. And you're wondering, and like you get the writer's block and he can't write any further. You get a block of thought. And it's sometimes a person is overwhelmed with the situation and he just can't find solutions. Take the heat, the light and the heat from the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will remove the blockage of thought. Because Allah, therefore Allah ta'ala has mentioned this dhikr first and then tafakkur. But if a person makes tafakkur without dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will come most likely to wrong conclusions. So why dhikr? Dhikr simply because it helps you control your mind and your thought. And therefore in dhikr it is very, very important that you make it, mashallah, 50 times dhikr of the word, of the sentence, la ilaha illallah every morning, and the word Allah. And in the evening we are doing the same. But it shouldn't be that in that dhikr our mind is wandering. If our mind is wandering that particular time, how is the dhikr going to help you in concentration in salat? So you should make a special effort. That therefore one of the reasons that we sing that we say the ash'ar is so that it can give us some control of thought. That while I'm making dhikr of la ilaha illallah, this is the mazmoon, this is the subject matter that I should think about. So it controls our thought. And try to keep your thought on that. So inshallah with continuity in this, Allah Ta'ala will give you some malaka, Allah Ta'ala will give you some maharat and some efficiency in controlling your thought pattern. And today this is our problem. We have reached the moon, but we fail in controlling our thought. How many different thoughts come in our minds the whole day? One is because we are not making dhikr effectively. Make dhikr effectively and inshallah see then what enjoyment there is in ruku, what enjoyment there is in sajda. It has a tremendous effect. If our thoughts are going away in salat, remember our dhikr is still not proper. Make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with love, with continuity, daily, daily, daily. And this our test truly will be after Ramadan. Yeah, in Ramadan, mashallah, in the majlis of the Shaykh and with the majlis of dhikr, we engage in dhikr. But on the second of Shawwal, when we are at home, whether we take out the time to make the dhikr of Allah or not. Have a time. This is my time for Allah. This is my time of singing the praises of Allah and pouring my heart to Allah. And this is the way a person makes dhikr. Now make dhikr with that. Walihana, like we mentioned, with muhabbat. When you say the word Allah, don't just say the word Allah like an empty capsule. What difference your person has, how many empty capsules you can have? Hazrat Hakim says, inshallah, but with the name of the birth of Allah, there will be some benefit. It won't be like an empty capsule completely, Hazrat Hakim used to say. But fill the capsule with power within, and then see. And for example, you're making the word, the dhikr of the word Allah. And you say Allah, then with this thought, oh Allah, I love you. Oh Allah, I need you. Oh Allah, I can't live without you. Oh Allah, you love me in return. When a person cries to Allah from the bottom of his heart every day like this, oh Allah, I need you, Allah. How long can I remain? How can I remain so aloof from you for so long? I've remained aloof from you for so long, oh Allah. Become mine. Let me become yours. Oh Allah, love me in return. I love you. You love me in return. Make dhikr like that and then see, inshallah, how quickly it has an effect on yourself. And then it controls your mind the whole day. Because you made such a power. And if a person expresses their love to you, even your child, you are upset about them, but they tell you, Daddy, I love you. Even we get caught by that. Allah is most appreciative. Shakur. Allah is Shakur. Allah has created shukr and it emanates from Him. And Allah's sifat is Shakur. He is appreciative. And you pour your heart out to Allah like this, then see inshallah in a very short time what dhikr effect will have. And what dhikr is, Hazrat Hakim Sahib mentions, it is dalil-e-qat'i that it will create contentment of heart. Quran Kareem makes claim, Allah, listen carefully, remove the wax from your ears, remove the cotton wool that you have put in your ears. Allah, bi dhikri Allahi tatma'innul qulub. That with the dhikr of Allah will the heart gain contentment. So that means if you have contentment of heart, what is khushu? It's all about dil ki kayfiyat. So when the person has contentment with the heat of the dhikr of Allah and the nur of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to concentrate in salat will become very easy. Because the mind is controlled by the heart, it's not the other way around. So when there is itminan in the heart, ala bi dhikri Allahi tatma'innul qulub. So with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will a person get itminan in his heart, and that will have a tremendous and a direct effect on the concentration in salat. So the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every night inshallah. So let's try to experience it tonight. When we're making the dhikr after Isha salat, after Tarawih salat. Let it not just be that now we're checking the watch. Today we are but earlier than yesterday. It is 9:44 today. No. We are not timekeepers. MashaAllah, you see, even in salat, you see how a salat has become. We make salam right, Tarawih time. Then we make left. Then we make right because we check the watch on top. We keep in time, mashallah. Now the first four nights is gone, inshallah they should complete a bit earlier from now on, but now they're reading one para. No. This is not dil lagakar salat. Pour your heart to Allah in sujood. Pour your heart to Allah in ruku. And then see what enjoyment you get. And in the dhikr tonight, inshallah, try it, inshallah, and see your salat tomorrow, fajr salat. Then, oh Allah, I love you. Oh Allah, I need you. Oh Allah, become mine. Oh Allah, I can't live without you. Oh Allah, you want me in return, oh Allah. How long am I going to live a life distance from you? Allah Ta'ala gives all tawfiqah. Subhanallah.